have no regrets about choices they've made, because the results of those choices have made them who they are. I can't say that I agree fully with such sentiments, but I certainly understand them. Hindsight is easy, but decisions made in the moment are often much more difficult, the right choice often much harder to discern. Which circles me back to my original thought. I could not have planned out this journey I have taken, these decades of winding roads and unexpected twists and turns. Even on those occasions when I purposely strode in a determined direction, as when I walked out of Menzo Berenzon, I could not begin to understand the long-term ramifications of my choice. Indeed, on that occasion, I thought that I would likely meet my death, and soon enough. It wasn't a suicidal choice, of course, never that, but merely a decision that the long odds were worth the gamble when weighed against the certainty of life in Menzo Berenzon, which seemed to me emotional suicide. Never did I think those first steps would lead me out of the underdog to the surface world. And even when that course became evident, I could not have foreseen the journeys that lay ahead. The love of Montolio, and then the home and family I found in Icewind Dale. On that day I walked away from Menzo Berenzon. The suggestion that my best friend would be a dwarf and I would marry a human would have elicited a perplexed and incredulous look indeed. Imagine Driz Do'Urden of Daemon Enishesbirnon sitting at the right hand of King Brunner Battlehammer of Mithril Hall, fighting beside King Brunner against the raiding drow of Menzo Berenzon. Preposterous, but true. This is life. An adventure too intricate, too interconnected, to too many variables to be predictable. So many people try to outline and determine their path, rigidly unbending, and for them I have naught but a sigh of pity. They set the goal and chase it to the exclusion of all else. They see the mark of some imagined finish line and never glance left or right in their singular pursuit. There is only one certain goal in life. Death. It is right and necessary and important to set goals and chase them. But to do so singularly, particularly regarding those roads which will take many months, even years, to accomplish, is to miss the bigger point. It is the journey that is important, for it is the sum of all those journeys, planned or unexpected, that makes us who we are. If you see life as a journey to death, if you truly understand that ultimate goal, then it is the present that becomes most important. And when the present takes precedence over the future, you have truly learned to live. One eye looking toward your future destination, one eye firmly gazing on your present path, I say. I have noted before and do so again, because it is a valuable lesson that should often be reinforced, that many who are faced with impending death, a disease that will likely take them in a year's time, for example, quite often insist that their affliction is the best thing that ever happened to them. It takes the immediacy of mortality to remind them to watch the sunrise and the sunset, to note the solitary flower among the rocks, to appreciate those loved ones around them, to taste their food and revel in the feel of a cool breeze. To appreciate the journey is to live in the present, even as you aim for the future. There are unintended consequences to be found in any case. We do not usually choose to love those who become important to us. Oh, perhaps we choose our mate, but that is but one of a myriad of beloved we will know. We do not choose our parents or our siblings, but typically, these people will become beloved to us. We do not choose our neighbors in our youth, and our city or kingdom is determined for us, initially at least. Few are those who break from that societal bond. I did, but only because of the extreme nature of Menzo Berenzon. Had I been born and raised in Baldur's Gate, and that city became involved in a war with Waterdeep, under whose flag would I fight? Almost assuredly, the place of my birth, the place of my kin and kind. This would not be a neutral choice, and would be one, almost assuredly, influenced by past events, large and small, by past emotional attachments, of which I might not even be consciously aware. I would fight for my home, most of all, because it was my home, and not one I had purposely chosen. This is even truer regarding the followers of various gods I have found, for most people at least. Children are typically raised within the guidelines of their family's faith. This moral code becomes a part of their very identity, true to the core of who they are. And though the ultimate morality of so many of the gods is, when stripped of nearly irrelevant particulars, identical, only those particular pieces, whether in ritual or minor tenet, may be at odds, and in a larger context, what should that matter? Even these seemingly minor discrepancies go to the heart of the tribal bonds of every sentient being. And few can step above their partisan outlook to evaluate a conflict at hand, should there be one, through the eyes of the opposing people. These are journeys that we do not individually determine, full of beloved people we did not consciously choose to love. Familiarity may breed contempt, as the old saying goes, but in truth, familiarity breeds family and familial love, and that bond is powerful indeed. It would take extraordinary circumstances, I expect, for a brother to fight against a brother, and sadly most wars are not waged over extraordinary moral quandaries or conflicting philosophies. And so the bond will usually hold in the face of such conflict. To pass through childhood beside our siblings is to forge a special bond that those outside the family cannot enter. A wise drow once told me that the surest way to rally citizens around their king is to threaten him, for even if those same citizens loathed the man, they would not loathe their homeland, and when such a threat is made, it is made upon that homeland most of all. I find that such parochialism is true more often for humans and the shorter living races than it is for elves, drow or surface, and for a very simple reason. Rarely are elf children raised together in a singular family unit. A child of a people is more likely to have a sibling a century older than he is to have one passing through childhood beside him.